to Proverbs chapter 8. Let me say before we begin, chapter 8 is like chapter 7. It is one long poem in the Hebrew. That doesn't come out so clearly in our Bible versification, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But in the Hebrew, this is one long poem about wisdom. While we covered the entire chapter 7 in one message, chapter 8 lends itself to being broken up into individual parts a bit more easily, and I intend to do that because it is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Proverbs. So today we will be reading and covering, God willing, verses 1 through 11. So if you would please stand with us as we read the Word of God. We will only read verses 1 through 11, but I do urge you to read the entire chapter several times this week. It will prepare your heart for subsequent messages. Chapter 8, brethren, this is the infallible Word of God, beginning in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that hath understanding, or that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. Amen. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His good word. Let's now join our hearts in prayer, brethren. Father in heaven, we do praise and thank Thee for the blessings that Thou hast showered upon us already today in Jesus Christ the Lord. What a mercy that not one soul here awoke rather in hell this morning. And Lord, for those that are lost, Thou hast given them yet space to repent. Thou hast given them another day to repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And O blessed Father, I thank Thee for Thy precious children. May they be encouraged, built up in the faith this morning. I pray that Thou wouldst pour out Thy Spirit, fill our hearts, O God. Fill these little vessels with Thy Spirit. Make us to know Thy holy presence. Touch our hearts and our minds by Thy Word, as our brother read this morning, O Lord, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Bring saving faith to the lost, and increase the faith of Thy dear children in the hearing of Thy Word this morning. May we offer up an honest, a real, a fervent worship unto Thee, and may our hearts unite in joy as we consider that Thou hast loved us before the foundation of the world. Thou dost love us now, and that Thou wilt love Thy people through all eternity. We bless Thee, O righteous God. May all that we do here bring glory to Thy holy name, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Please be seated. If we would know life as God intended it, we must know wisdom. The 66 books of the Bible are the revelation of God's infinite wisdom. In the Bible, we learn that God, by wisdom, made the heavens. Psalm 136:5. In the Bible, we learn that God saves His people through Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Colossians 2:3. In the Bible, we learn that God makes His people wise through His Word. Let the Word of Christ, writes Paul, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Colossians 3:16. So, when we study the Word of God, please notice the Word, not when we pick it up and glance over it once in a while, not when we peruse or casually run over the words, but when we study and submit our hearts and minds to the Word of God carefully, we learn that wisdom is the God-given skill of navigating life according to God's Word. God wants us to be artists in life. He wants us to be skillful at navigating life. My beloved wife and I were on a journey recently and watched someone weaving in and out. It was clear the person was not in control of himself or herself, whoever was driving. And there was immediate fear. We slowed down. We didn't want to be near them. And the people around them were beginning to become aware that someone around them was not driving well. Brethren, many of us are just like that every day of our lives. It's like we're out of control waiting for the wreck to happen. And that is not what God wants for His people. He wants His people to skillfully navigate life according to His Word. For this reason, Solomon gives us one of the most beautiful chapters in the Proverbs. There aren't any bad ones here. None of them are bad. But this is truly one of the, if we may say it this way, this is one of the cathedral chapters. This is one of them that has a ceiling so high and lofty that when we read it and we have the light of God's Word, it is inspiring. It is breathtaking. It is glorious. We see things here that are hard to find in other places in Scripture as far as their highness, as far as their glory, as far as their bigness in our minds and hearts. I have wrestled with this chapter, and I know I will all the way through to the end. I don't know how any human being could feel or think that he was sufficient to preach the glory that's contained here. And yet that is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to give it our best shot. But by God's grace, I will attempt to set some of the stunning beauty that is here. After some of the dark chapters that we've worked through in Proverbs, in their severe warnings and in their threatenings of destruction, it is wonderful to come to this chapter and have the Son of Righteousness, as it were, rise up and let us see the glory of woman wisdom. So, we could call this chapter the autobiography of woman wisdom. In the chapter before us, wisdom reveals herself to us. She comes to us. And this is the clearest vision in chapter 8 and in chapter 9 that we have of the personification of wisdom. And we want to sit in the glow and in the light and in the beauty that she sets before us. She ravishes our heart with her beautiful character. She stirs up within us a desire for her, a right desire. She tells us about her rich benefits. She teaches us about her eternal existence and purpose. She speaks of the glories of creation. And she declares to us the gift of life. And she warns us of the danger of ignoring her. This beautiful chapter divides easily into four parts. Part 1 is from verse 1 through verse 11. Part 2, in the next message, God willing, is verse 12 through 21. Part 3 is verse 22 through 31. And part 4 is verse 32 through 36. Again, I urge you to read the entire chapter several times in the next few weeks. And it will prepare your heart better to receive and hear the word preached. Now, our first message from this chapter then is entitled Wisdom's Autobiography, Her Call. Wisdom's Autobiography, Her Call. May our gracious, wise, and loving Heavenly Father grant us much light from the Holy Spirit as we consider these things. The title of the message, as I've already said, is Wisdom's Autobiography, Her Call. We will begin to unfold her biography this morning with heading number 1, The Reality of Woman Wisdom's Call. The reality. And number 2, the content. The content of Woman Wisdom's Call. Our God is good. I pray that you have come prepared to hear from Him. And may we hear wisdom's voice as we work through this passage now. Let's consider first the reality of woman wisdom's call. And we find that here in chapter 8 in verses 1 through 3. As we have journeyed through Proverbs, the Holy Spirit has taught us mostly through two important voices: the wise father and woman wisdom. While other voices have arisen in these chapters, they are minor players in comparison with these two. These are the voices guiding and directing us through Proverbs. The wise father is King Solomon. Solomon asked God, "Give therefore thy servant, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for long life. He pleaded with the God of wisdom for wisdom, that he might be able to give account for leading them. That's a good prayer for anyone in a leadership position. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. God was pleased to hear Solomon's prayer. Scripture says, "The Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him." 1 Kings 5:12. Scripture also says, "All the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart." 2 Chronicles 9:23. The kind of wisdom that kings lined up to hear, Christ has graciously given us here in the Proverbs. We don't want to miss that. Men got in boats or ships or got on camels or donkeys or walked miles and miles to stand in Solomon's presence and hear astonishing wisdom. Every person here that has a Bible can pick it up and read it at home. Saturate his mind and his heart with God-inspired, infallible, life-changing, heart-transforming wisdom. Oh, how we need it. I need it every day. And if you know anything about your own heart, you know you need wisdom every day as well. We have the unspeakable blessing, my brethren, of having Solomon's wisdom set before us. And we hear it as Solomon teaches his son. It is as though the curtain were drawn back, or we were invited into the living room or whatever room in the palace. The king sat with his son to instruct him in the wisdom of the ages. We're invited. We get to hear it. And we've been hearing it thus far for 7 chapters and now have entered the 8th. Now the second most important voice we have heard is a character that we call woman wisdom. Wise Solomon, the wisest person that has ever lived apart from Jesus Christ, and woman wisdom, who is not a flesh and blood person. Don't be confused, especially young people and children. As we talk about woman wisdom, and we talk about wisdom being she, we're not talking about a flesh and blood person. Woman wisdom is a personification of God's pure, infinite wisdom. It is Solomon's way of taking God's immense wisdom and setting it before his son in an image, in a symbol that he would understand. A beautiful woman. Young men are interested in beautiful women. And he sets before his son the most beautiful and the most desirable, God's wisdom. Before a young man encounters the women of the world, a father should make sure that his son is well familiar with woman wisdom. That's the idea here. Now, I've used the word personification, and again, let me simply say that a personification simply means that we present an idea, such as love or wisdom, and talk about it as if it were a person. That is Solomon's method here. He presents to his son the pure, infinite wisdom of God using the very symbol of beauty that speaks to every culture, a woman. Now, we've first met woman wisdom in chapter 1. We heard Solomon's voice first, and then later toward the end of the chapter, we were introduced to woman wisdom as Solomon introduced his son to her. She was standing in the public square. Solomon painted a very vivid picture. Woman wisdom was at the head of crowded, noisy streets, shouting to those that passed by. She wasn't a wallflower, blended in with the crowd, up against the wall and quiet. She was shouting. The picture is the hustle and bustle of people going back and forth in the streets. And her shouting the wisdom of God at them. Hear me, O sons of men. Hear me, O naive ones. Hear me, O foolish ones. That's the picture that was given to us then. And this picture teaches us a simple but an important message. In the midst of everyday life, God's wisdom is out in the open, available to those who hear her and want her. Now, it is true, in several of the chapters, it talks about us digging, mining, searching for wisdom, and of course we must. It's not contradictory. What Solomon is telling us is that wisdom is available, but we must pay attention. We must give heed. We must stop, seek her out, think about what she's saying, and then begin to apply it to our lives. In the midst of everyday life, God's wisdom is out in the open. Having warned his son about the soul-destroying dangers of an adulterous woman in chapter 7, he now points his son to the most important woman in the Bible, to the most important woman in life, woman wisdom, the personification of the eternal, infinite, and good wisdom of God. It should be as desirable to us as the most beautiful image we can imagine. So Solomon begins with questions to make us think. He begins with questions to make us think. Solomon begins by asking his son a rhetorical question. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Now, this kind of question does not usually call for an answer. A rhetorical question is a device that we use to get someone's attention. Solomon does not expect his son to say yes or no as he asks this question, as he puts the questions to him. He asks this kind of question to grab his son's attention and to make him think. Solomon is saying something like this. Son, after introducing you to woman wisdom, haven't you heard God's voice in what I'm teaching you? Doesn't wisdom cry? Cry here doesn't mean weeping. Cry means shouting out, calling out. Do you hear me? That's the idea. He's saying, now, son, after these 7 chapters, haven't you heard wisdom? In the gang that I talked about in chapter 1, in the evil man that I talked about in chapter 2, in the evil woman that I talked about in chapter 4, in chapter 5, in chapter 6, in chapter 7. I was interspersing God's truth in everything that I was saying. Isn't wisdom shouting at you? Isn't wisdom crying out to you? That's the idea. In all that I've taught you, my son, since chapter 1, he wouldn't have said chapter 1, of course, don't you hear God's wisdom shouting to you to listen and obey? God is not silent. The world is full of soul-destroying dangers, soul-destroying voices. Do you hear God's wisdom in the din, in the noisiness, in the racket that the world is throwing at us with its songs and its movies and its voices that are shouting for our attention? Go this way, go this way, do that. This is valuable, this is famous, this is wonderful. Here's where you need to spend your life. In the midst of all that, are you hearing God's wisdom? We need to be able to hear that voice. In His love, in His mercy, God's wisdom in creation and His wisdom in His Word shouts His truth to the world. Let me ask all of us, is your Bible just sitting at home gathering dust? It's shouting God's truth. You giving more time to Facebook or God's book? How much time are you putting in it every day? Add it up and ask yourself if you're wise. Ask yourself if you're hearing God shouting over all the voices you're hearing. How long are you texting? And how long are you giving yourself to God's text? God isn't quiet. His infallible Word speaks every day. Sometimes it virtually shouts. We're not hearing it. Oh, may God give us ears to hear. Well, wisdom not only lifts up her voice and shouts. Obviously, she's doing this in some ladylike way. She keeps her beauty. But she does so in strategic locations in daily life. This is verses 2 and 3. Solomon says, "She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors." Being in the high places means that she was positioned in a place to be heard. If you want to be heard and there's a crowd of people, you don't go to the back of an alley. You get up and you try to get above them if you can, so that your voice will carry and they can hear you. And that's the idea. Woman wisdom has placed herself so that she can stand and cry out, and so that people can hear her above the racket of daily life. She's not in the cave. She's not hiding in the woods. She's publicly, openly standing in the high places. Maybe it's on the city walls or some other high place in the city, crying out to the people. Do you see the picture that the Holy Spirit is inspired for Solomon to give to us here? Solomon is telling us wisdom is available. You don't have to go beg her. She's standing in the high places shouting out. God's wisdom is here. She crieth at the gates. It says in the places of the paths. Now we need to remember that path throughout the Bible, but especially here in Proverbs, is one of the terms for life, the way of life. There are two paths, the way of wisdom, the way of the fool. That's all there is in Proverbs. And in Scripture, there is the way of life and there is the way of death. There are only two paths. You're on one of them. You're either on the way to life, you are in life and by life, heading toward eternal life in the wisdom of God, or you are on the broad road that leads to hell and destruction. So, when wise Solomon gives us this picture of paths, we need to let it soak in. In the places of the paths means that wisdom is at the busy crossroads and the intersections of life where people must make a decision. When you come to the intersection, go straight, you turn left, you turn right. You have to make a decision. You have to take a path. You have to know where you're going. And that's the idea. All through our lives, we have relationships and we have decisions. And let me tell you, as life goes on, the decisions don't get easier. They get harder and harder. Sometimes they feel like they're going to absolutely pull you in pieces. But we have to make them. And the Lord wants us to navigate them skillfully. So, wisdom is even at the intersections. Wisdom's at the crossroads of our lives. And crying out, we need to hear. What is God saying to me at this point? God is merciful to make sure that we have wisdom, even in the intersections. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city. The gates and the entry of the city were locations where business transactions took place. Every city in those days had its walls, or at least the walled cities had entrances, and around the gates were the places where most things took place. They were a very busy hub of day-to-day life. It was there that business transactions took place, buying and selling. There people settled disputes. There they talked politics. Now, these were the places where public officials often made their decisions and announcements. In other words, woman wisdom stood at the very hub of public life, crying out for people to hear. High places, crossroads, commerce in the business area, the business district, in the shopping mall. Why is Solomon painting these pictures this way? Let's consider just a little bit more, and I trust that the picture will seep into our hearts. At the coming in, at the doors, points to the places where people entered the city for business or for adventure. People also went out at the doors for a journey. Very often when someone was traveling, if you lived in the city, you would gather up some things for them, something for them to drink. You would bring food for them, and you would, it's called in the Bible, you would see them on their way. What that meant is you accompanied them out to the gates. You made sure they made it safely to the gates and then went on into their journey. So what's the picture here? Gates, high places. All of these marketplace ideas, bypaths, crossroads. Well, all of these pictures should be familiar even to our society, at least at some level. And what are they? Picture of the things that our lives are made up of. We're constantly involved in the politics of the day, or the buying and selling, or we're constantly involved in making decisions. We're constantly talking politics. We're constantly talking about what's going on with the laws or with the elections or whatsoever. Are these not the most mundane things in life? Being on a path, taking a turn, going on a journey. We need wisdom for all of it. This is the idea. Wisdom is available because we need wisdom for every single aspect of our lives, even the simplest and most mundane. Very often we think we only need wisdom when we're trying to decide if we're going to take that job or not, or if I'm going to marry this person or not, or if I'm going to go to that school or not. That's kind of when we kind of look in our back pockets to find some wisdom. Or what we're being told here is that we need God's wisdom every single day in every aspect of our lives. And I can tell you that you're not navigating life skillfully in every one of the places you're leaving His wisdom out. Wisdom's at all the strategic locations, shouting at us, I'm here, do you know me? I'm here. Are you listening? Though wisdom is high, it is practical. It's heavenly in its origin, but it's earthly in the way we work it out. Sinful human beings need God's high and lofty wisdom at street level. And that's the picture. God's wisdom, street level, mundane avenues of life. And this beautiful woman is shouting to us, shouting to young people, shouting to adults. God meets us there. What a great and merciful, glorious God. God does come in His wisdom in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our churches. We have to cast ourselves upon Him. We have to trust Him with all of our hearts, but He's there for His people. Now, if you've not repented of your sins and believed on Him, the wise thing for you to do is, as soon as humanly possible, repent of your sins and believe on God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do anything wiser than that right now. For God's people, having done that, then we need to cast our lives entirely upon Him, trusting His wisdom, learning it, taking it in, putting it into practice, and walking in it day in and day out. This is why Solomon keeps driving his son with these repetitive things that he says. Pay attention. Are you listening? Son, are you listening? Listen to what I'm saying. Pay attention. Over and over. We need it as adults, don't we? How many of us know and love the gospel, yet we can have a very difficult week? We're wrestling, we're perhaps weeping, crying, moaning over what's going on in life. We walk in and all of a sudden someone brings to us the blessed fountain of Christ and His grace. And we heard it last week, but all of a sudden we realize we weren't really leaning on it through the week and how much we needed it. Brethren, we need woman wisdom shouting us every day, crying out to us every day, and we need to be straining to hear. Turning up the hearing aid over the world, so to speak. Taking the earbuds of the world out and listening for God's voice. We need God's wisdom in shopping. You know, you can be really foolish, stupid, wasteful with the money the Lord's given you, with what you go to buy. We all know that, don't we? I hope we're not all well practiced at it. But if you are, there's always space to repent. In school, we need God's wisdom in school. Those of you that are homeschoolers, those of you that are in the public school, when you wake up in the morning, one of the parts of your prayer should be, "Oh Lord, give me wisdom to learn today." In business, let me ask you, men, do you leave Christ and His gospel? Do you leave God's law? Do you leave God's wisdom out of the business place? Got to go along to get along. Do we go and act like the world, live like the world throughout the week, and then come and do our religious time at church? By the way, God despises that. You need to know it. If that's your modus operandi, the first thing for you to do is repent and learn to live with Christ every day. Every day. But the good news is that God's woman wisdom is there every day. We can seek Him. We can seek the living Lord and say, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." We can say, if any of you lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But are we asking? Are we soaking our minds in God's wisdom? Are we sitting at her feet and listening to her talk with us with her lovely words? That's the idea. Solomon saying to his son, listen to her. Listen to her. She is crying out in the everyday places in which we live. Let's listen with all of our hearts. Then let us consider then the content. All of this has been Solomon's introduction to her. But now let's hear what she actually says. Verses 4 through 11. The first thing to consider is to whom she calls. Verse 4. Solomon has been speaking in the third person. Now we hear wisdom herself speaking in the first person. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Woman's wisdom first cry is to all human beings. It's a universal call. God the Maker says, your life is out of control because sin rules you. Because you listen to your emotions rather than God's Word. Because you listen to the world's word rather than God's word. And I want those made in my image to live lives that reflect me. He loves his people. And one of the things he loves, now this will sound strange to human minds, but one of the things that he loves in his children is his own reflection. He likes to see himself in his children. He's loving. He likes to see his children loving. He's forgiving. He likes to see his children forgiving. I mean, every parent here knows there are times when we see the horrible sinful nature we gave to our children. And we teach them and we pray for them and we try to live the truth before them. And occasionally, we see them do something that we know. They've been taught, they've believed it, they're practicing it, and we're delighted beyond words. Now, if we can feel that, and I mean really feel that as human beings, what about the glory of God when He sees His mercy shining through one of these weak vessels? When He sees His kindness, He likes to see His reflection. And that is why he calls to all people. My wisdom is here. Woman's wisdom, a woman wisdom's first cry is universal. Oh, men, the sons of men. And it is because every human being desperately needs God's wisdom to live in this world. I was speaking with a friend of mine that I used to work with. He's an atheist. Every year or two, we talk, and I try at least to say something about the Lord, even if I can only get a little something in, like I've been praying for you. I pray that you'll turn to the Lord. And one of the things that he said to me was, I'll tell you somebody who really needs what you talk about. And he told me about someone else whose life was a mess. Right? And you know, as much as we might look at that and say, ah, boy, that's pretty crass. We all do this sometimes. Rather than saying, thank you, I need to hear this. How many sermons have you thought, oh, I wish someone else were here hearing this? Have you ever stopped to ask the question, why did the Lord have you here instead of them? You're here because He wants you to hear what He's saying. He could fill this place up or He could empty it tomorrow. All human beings need to hear God's wisdom. And in His mercy, He's brought you here to hear it today. To hear of His wisdom. The need for wisdom crosses all boundaries. Man, woman, adult, child, racial boundaries, rich, poor, religious, atheist, healthy, diseased, educated, unschooled. Everybody needs wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom. Sin has devastated man's ability to think according to God's will. And in the mercy of the gospel of God, in Jesus Christ, we can be restored to the living God and we can begin to learn the wisdom we've run from all of our days. Paul describes sinful human beings as living in the vanity, that means the futility of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, this is the case of every one of us as we enter this world. And it is only through the restoring glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are brought back to God. And we may begin to hear His voice and His Word and learn to be wise. Oh, we need wisdom. I don't need an eyedropper of it. I need an ocean. What about you? God is not stingy. He gives it. The ocean of wisdom is Jesus Christ. We may come to Him in His Word, by His Spirit, and learn what He would have us to do. All human beings need God's wisdom. So, woman wisdom's first call is to all people. But why does she call? Why she calls is what we want to consider further. Wisdom does not simply call to all human beings. She especially cries out. It's a strong language. Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. God's wisdom crying out in the high places, in the crossroads of life, the intersections, in the nooks and crannies, in the business place, everywhere in life, wisdom is crying out, and especially crying out, oh, naive ones. She cries out because there are naive human beings and because there are fools. Wisdom fervently cries out. The naive are the inexperienced and immature. The fool is one who hears God's word and does not take it to heart. Do you hear this? The fool is not the class clown. In the Bible, and especially in Proverbs, the fool is the one who hears God's word and then doesn't do it. I mean, we can come and hear the best sermons on the planet. If we were to be able to build a time machine and bring Charles Spurgeon right here and let him stand and preach the glories of Christ, seems like no one ever made was able to do that except the apostles. The way Spurgeon did, I've never read a dud in one of his sermons. But you could hear the Prince of Preachers and walk out unchanged. Not take what was said. Take it to heart. Believe it. And try to live it this afternoon. Not just tomorrow morning. Fools are those who hear truth. Life-changing, life-helping, heart-transforming truth. Walk out, plug into the world, and forget what they heard. Those are the fools. As a Christian, I've been a fool. I hope you have not. But if you have, this is for you. Certainly for me. An element of resistance to God's will lies in the fool's heart. He hears and he realizes something's being demanded. God's calling him to something. And he's not quite sure he wants to do that. That's a fool. Well, that would cost me. You know, if I started telling people that I knew the Lord, they wouldn't think I was cool at school. That's exactly right. So what are you going to do? If you don't say, well, I know that the Lord says, he that denies me before men, I will deny. I sure don't want the Lord to deny me. I'm going to speak of Christ in what I do. And if people say, you're a fool, I'll know who the real fool is. You're not cool, man. You don't do what we do. You don't listen to what we listen to. You don't watch what we watch. You don't wear what we wear. Not so sure we want to be around you. Maybe we don't want to invite you to the things we do because we're cool. They're just fools. That's all. And you'll be the fool if you join them. No, no. Woman wisdom is crying out and saying, you don't have to follow the world. Follow Christ at these junctures, at these intersections, at these crossroads. You're going to have to make some hard decisions. Will I be popular or will I be holy? They don't go together usually. But there's nothing more wonderful than being holy and knowing the living God and walking in His wisdom. She calls out because there are fools. She calls out because there are naive people. The naive person does not yet understand what we call prudence. Prudence is wisdom coupled with caution. Prudence is wisdom coupled with caution. I've learned some things about navigating life, and I'm careful. I mean, many of us, as young people, were not careful about many things. That's a naive person. Young people often live like they might not die today, when they might. Adults, our culture so much despises age and aging that my generation still wants to act like it did in the 60s. That's really foolish, inexperienced. So wait a minute. Yes, we are experienced. We know the song. We know the drugs. We know all the things we did. We're experienced. No. In the Bible, this kind of experience means knowing God. You don't know God. I mean, it is one of the most remarkable brooch of human taste to see people my age up on the stage still rocking down at the casino because they can't fill an auditorium anymore. From the religious to the world, we can be naive. We think we are experienced when we're not. We think we're mature when we're anything but. We think that we understand life and we don't have any caution in our lives. Yeah, let's just do it. We don't even think about what it's going to do to us. Yeah, I'll drink Coke for 40 years and all of a sudden I have a weight problem. Wow, how'd that happen? I'd eat pizza every day. I'll eat fried foods every day. I'll eat just like my culture eats. How did I get to be 300 pounds? Well, you didn't have any caution. You didn't read a lot of labels, and you haven't been careful about some of the things you were looking at. Yeah, brethren, it's always someone else that's foolish. It's always someone else that's naive. But if we sit down and examine ourselves by the Word of God, we begin to have to start getting quiet about some of those things. Wisdom cries out because we are naive and foolish. And that's the love of God doing that. In Scripture, the fool isn't necessarily intellectually weak. He may be an absolutely brilliant human being, but he's spiritually dead. And he won't walk in what God says. There are lots of people, let me say to you, friends, there are lots of people that have, quote, made decisions, walked the aisle, prayed the prayer, signed the card, and are absolutely certain they're going to heaven. But when you take their lives and read through the Word of God, they don't walk with God because they don't know Him. And they're fools. They think they're saved because of something they did a few years ago, rather than believing that they're saved because of what God did 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ. Oh, help us, Lord, to understand wisdom. God is crying out to us. Well, let me move on quickly. I just want to say, the fool is spiritually stupid because he resists God's law. He is stubborn and rebellious. He wants his own way. He'd rather live his life the way he thinks it rather than what God says in the Word. What he needs is a new heart. What he needs is to be born again. What he needs is an understanding heart. And that's what she says. Oh, that you had an understanding heart. Where does that come from? It comes from what we call being born again. God's Spirit. This only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and the entrance of God's Word, which gives light. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, what does she say then? If she speaks because there are fools and naive, and she wants us to know wisdom, what does she actually say? Well, wisdom lifts up her voice and cries, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." Wisdom cries, "Hear, pay attention." We've often heard this from the Father's mouth. And why should the Son hear? Why should we hear? Because it's wisdom. And we don't have it. Because it's wisdom, God's wisdom, speaking to our darkened hearts. She says, "I will speak of excellent things." There are not many, but there are a few people in this world. I just like to be around them. Because their words, their discussion, is always encouraging in some way. Now, they may be rebuking me. They may be reproving me. They may be comforting me. They may be strengthening me. Or they may simply be talking about something the Lord is teaching them. But their mouths speak things that draw my heart to them. I want to be around those kind of people. I want to learn from them. I want to be the big sponge around them. Now, young people, you need to find wise people and do exactly the same thing. That's the picture here. Except here it's not a human person. Solomon's saying, "Son, are you hearing what she's saying? Listen to what she says. I am speaking to you excellent things. You want to hear great stuff? Don't go listen to the adulterous woman. Come talk to me. Come give yourself to God's Word. Come and sit and say, 'Lord Jesus, teach me.'" He loves to do that. He's not stingy. He loves to do that. Oh my. What a great and good and holy and righteous God we hear. Wisdom cries, "Listen to me. I'm speaking to you excellent things. The things of the world are low. They're dark. They're wicked. They're sensual. They're perverse. But God's wisdom speaks of excellent things. Light, goodness, spiritual mindedness, righteousness. The world speaks of man and of his sinful pursuits. Wisdom speaks of the living God and his mighty works in Christ. The world speaks of its wickedness. Wisdom speaks of holiness. The world speaks of lasciviousness and lewdness. Wisdom speaks of purity. The world speaks of self, self, and more self. Wisdom speaks of others. The world speaks of its shameful lusts. Wisdom speaks of Christ, taking up the cross, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Okay, this is a serious question. I mean this with all my heart. Do you ever hunger after righteousness? Thirst after righteousness. We all get hungry. We all know what thirsty means. Do you ever get that way for Christ, for His things? Hungering. I need Christ. Thirst. I need Christ. I need His Spirit to slake my dryness in this desert. Oh, help. Do you ever hunger and thirst for Christ? These are not words in a book in and of themselves. They're supposed to translate into our living. So who are we listening to? The world or wisdom? She's shouting at us. Oh, let us hear her. She's beautiful. She's truly desirable. She satisfies the hungry soul. Well, Woman wisdom will always bring us into the presence of God to speak of excellent things. God is truth. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. God's Word is truth. And His church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We should hear woman wisdom crying out. We should say, tell us of the excellent things. Oh, and she's glad to tell you about them. God's wisdom has an intense hatred of all things that resist Him and His people. Oh, but He's got a great, a glorious, a grand love for His Son and for His people. Christ, the embodiment of God's eternal wisdom, never spoke anything but truth. He never spoke one syllable of wickedness in the entire span of His life. Wisdom will always point us to repentance, faith, justification, sanctification, glorification, the person and work of Christ and our eternal union with Him. Wisdom will always speak the things that are excellent and true and fill the heart with real joy that cannot be stolen by the things of life. What about our tongues? Do we speak excellent things? The more we know woman wisdom, the more we can. As we hear the excellent things from her, we can speak them. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Where does it come out? Right out of the mouth. Does anybody hear wisdom when we speak, or do they hear foolishness and naivety? Well, let me say, maybe I'm foolish. Maybe I am naive. I have good news for you. If you're seeing that, let me tell you, God's wisdom is shouting, come to Christ. Come open up His holy word. Come fellowship with Him. Come and pray. Come fellowship with His people. Encourage and be encouraged. Come. What's holding you back? Well, how does she speak? Let's press on and bring this to a close. The beautiful woman wisdom now says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. She not only speaks excellent things and true things, she speaks them in righteousness. God is righteous. God's law is righteous. And therefore, because woman wisdom is nothing other than God's wisdom itself, every aspect reflects His righteousness. When Isaiah saw the Lord in His beauty, in His holiness, in His righteousness, he didn't go, hi, God. Good to see you, bud. Are you running with me? He hit the dirt. When he saw the glory of God, he went down. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. New Testament, John, chapter 1. He sees the glory and beauty of Jesus Christ. And what does he do? He hits the ground like a man who's dead. He's stupendous. He's glorious. Oh, if I could only have understood a little better how great and grand and beautiful He was. How do we do that? We hear Him in His Word. We hear Him in His Word. Wisdom is shouting. And she's shouting in righteousness because she points to Christ. And she points to the beauty of what God calls us to live. Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, there's not anything crooked or perverse in what woman wisdom says. Her words are clear and straightforward to those who have ears to hear. Now, that's very important. Notice that she says, they are plain to him that understandeth. Now, there's a qualification there. And right to them that find knowledge. Her words are clear and straightforward if you have eyes and ears given by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God comes and appeals by the power of the Spirit to us. Are we listening? That's it. To the one that understands. Who's the one that understands? Is it the fellow that went to seminary? Might be. Maybe not. The fellow who goes to the church most has a star up on the board, haven't missed a Sunday in 150 years. Who's the one that understands? He's the one who's been born of God. He's been given a new heart. And that's why he wants the Scriptures. Just that simple. It isn't because the pastor got up and stomped and yelled and he felt bad enough to go home and read the Scriptures. Who wants to do that? I don't want to do that. Go gaze at beautiful woman wisdom. Go look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and see Him in His beauty. Someone said, "What do you think about pictures of Jesus, Mr. Pink?" Speaking to A.W. Pink, and he said, "Oh, I don't believe in pictures of Jesus, but there are two that I go to regularly, Isaiah 53 and Revelation 1. And he filled his mind and soul with Jesus. That's how we get to know Him, and that's how we begin to understand it. It all begins with the work of the Holy Spirit. He opens our ears, He opens our eyes, and we want Christ. And she finally gives us a command. In verse 10 she says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Woman, wisdom calls to the young person, to all people, saying, examine and evaluate my instruction. Take it instead of silver. Take the knowledge I give over the finest gold." And that leads us to why we should hear. Why should we do that? Why should we take words instead of money, instead of bling, instead of gold and silver and sapphires and rubies and wealth, big cars? Why should we take words instead of all that fine stuff? Because all that fine stuff is going to burn. And it's not going to do any good for you the minute you drop dead. But the words of God never change. The words of God go straight to the heart. And those that are born of Him have His Word within their souls. And they grow in it. And they learn in it. And they walk in it. And that can never be taken away no matter what they lose in this world. Of their comforts, of their health. You can never lose God's wisdom if you have it. So finally, we should hear, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Let me say as we bring this to a close, my friends, wisdom is always going to go into the treasure chest of God called Jesus Christ. He's the gold and the silver of heaven. He's the diamonds, the rubies, the sapphires. He is the glorious, eternal riches of God's grace to men. Jesus Christ is the blessed embodiment of God's wisdom to us. Listen how gracious He is. Listen how gracious and good He is. He is the eternal Son of God, became a man, and He kept God's law for us. He died as our sin-bearing substitute upon Calvary's cross. He rose again on the third day, conquering death and securing everlasting life, the pardon of sin for all of His children, every one of them. He ascended up into glory, and there He intercedes for us every moment of our lives, even when we're sitting down here doubting His goodness toward us. He's manifesting His goodness and supporting us even through our doubts. He grants us repentance. He grants us faith. He preserves us. He helps us persevere. He will return to take us to Himself. And in Him, we have treasures like justification, being declared righteous, sanctification, being made holy, glorification, the day is coming when we'll be like Him, propitiation, God is satisfied, reconciled, brought back to God, no longer His enemy. Anybody that has that is wealthy beyond words. But if you don't have that, it doesn't matter how much you have. You're a day closer to when you're going to lose it. And your fingers are going to lose their grasp on all your stuff. Christ. Christ. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What shall a man, a woman, a young person give in exchange for a soul? 15 minutes on YouTube in a viral video? Now I'm famous. Now those that are wise have laid hold of Jesus Christ and His Word. The gracious God of heaven and earth has set before us the most dazzling, desirous, beautiful woman that we can ever know. Woman, wisdom. God's wisdom. And the greatest expression of God's wisdom to us is Jesus Christ. Nothing in this world compares to knowing God. Nothing in this world compares to the riches of knowing, experiencing, obeying Jesus Christ. Nothing in this world compares to having God's Spirit, hearing God's Word, submitting our hearts to the Lord, and having all of our sins washed away in the blood of Christ. Nothing compares. So I ask you today, do you hear woman wisdom shouting? She's crying out. Christ is here. He's been set before you. Will you walk out without Him? Will you repent of your sins and have Him unto everlasting life? And if you have Him, have you heard your Master's voice a little today? It was coming through a very bad vessel. So it may have been real scratchy and hard to hear, but if you were listening, you could hear the Master. Woman wisdom cries out, hear, believe, and live. Amen. Oh Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. How excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Oh, how many of us, Lord, have traded away precious moments with Thee for things of the world that will never pay us back. Oh, may we know Thee, walk with Thee, hear Thee. Woman wisdom is lovely. May every young man, young woman, see her beauty. Lord, may every adult hear the same. May we lay hold of Thy wisdom in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. And we pray it in His name. Amen.